Would you turn back to Mark 14?
I've entitled this message, Mary's Beautiful Work. Look in verse 9 once again. These are the words of the Lord Jesus. And He says, "Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." Now, we don't read where the Lord used that language with regard to any of the 12, do we? Yet this woman, is there ever a commendation like this given to any son or daughter of Adam other than this woman? Not that I'm aware of. And I believe that by grace, this is the greatest work ever performed by a sinner saved by grace. This is the only work that the Lord ever commended as good. That's quite a resume, isn't it? Mary's beautiful work. Now, the word here, good, means more than morally good. It means beautiful. Beautiful. Mary's beautiful work. Now, a diamond is set on black velvet to increase its luster to those who see it. And this story is set between two of the darkest events that have ever taken place. Look in verses 1 and 2. "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and the unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death." And then, after this story, verse 10, "And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, evidently this precipitated this with Judas. "And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them." Now, in between these dark events, the planning of the murder of Jesus Christ and the betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have what the Lord called a beautiful work. I don't believe, as I said, there is any work better than this. And if there was someone that I would want to imitate in the Scripture more than any other person, it would be this woman. This woman was a woman of faith. You know, the Lord said she did this to anoint His body for the burying. Did she know what she was doing? Of course she did. She heard the Lord speak of being crucified and being raised again. She believed when the 12 didn't. And she did this as an act of faith. You see, you can't separate love to Christ and some view of His death and what it accomplished and His resurrection. Those two things cannot be separated. And she did what she did as an act of faith. Now, we know from John's account that Judas was the one who initiated this criticism. But all of the disciples joined in with this criticism. Matthew's account says when the disciples saw, I believe it's all 12 of them, they had indignation and said, to what purpose was this waste made? You know what just kills me? I know I would have been one of them. I don't think it. I know it. I would have been one of those people criticizing her for the great waste. All of this for a smell. What a waste. Now we know from John's Gospel that it was Mary who did this. The sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus. Mary performed this action, and was done right after the Lord had raised her brother from the dead. And I know this much about Mary. She knew that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. There wasn't any question with her with regard to that. She knew Him. I love that story in Luke chapter 10, I think it is, where they were having a feast for the Lord, and Martha and Mary and Lazarus at their home, and Martha was busy about getting the house ready for this, and can you blame her? Having the Lord over, I would want everything to be perfect. And Mary, the Scripture says, this same Mary sat at His feet. That's where I want to be found. She sat at His feet. And she heard His word. Well, Martha got aggravated about it. She said, Lord, don't You care that I'm doing all this work and my sister isn't doing anything? Martha, Martha. You're careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Right now, one thing is needful. Amen? One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that better part, and it shall not be taken from her. Turn with me for a moment to John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. John lets us know this was Mary who performed this act. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Don't you want to be in that group that He loved? Now in our text, back to Mark 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany, remember, Bethany is the house, is the town that Martha, Mary, and Lazarus lived in. Being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. Now, we're not given any information about Simon, but this, he was a leper. And you know, the Lord had a love for lepers. You remember that man who came to Christ full of leprosy, the Scripture says, in Luke. That means every square inch of his body was covered with leprosy. He came into the Lord's presence and said, Lord, if You will, You can make me clean. The Scripture says, and Jesus moved with compassion, reached forth His hand and touched Him. And I can't help but wonder how long it had been since he'd experienced any kind of human touch. He was a leper. He was made to
put a cloth over his mouth, and if somebody came toward him, he would say, "Unclean! Unclean!" But here the Lord, moved with compassion, touched him. You know, there are two chapters in Leviticus dedicated to the cleansing of the leper. And this is so interesting. The only time you could be pronounced clean by the priest is if you came completely covered with leprosy. And if you come into Christ's presence completely covered with sin, no soundness, nothing but sin, you will be received. And if you come any other way, you will be rejected and sent back to the leper colony. The only person who was pronounced clean was the man, you can read about this in Leviticus 12 and 13, that was completely covered with leprosy. Now, being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman, Mary, having an alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. Now we know from the other account, she also poured it on his feet. And she took her hair. I imagine her hair was long, obviously. And she took her hair and wiped his feet with that ointment. And I love the way John points out, the whole room was filled with this odor. Everybody benefited from this action of hers, but she wasn't thinking about anybody else's benefit. That wasn't even in her mind. She did this. This thing which the Lord called a beautiful work. And this alabaster box of ointment would have been worth about, in today's vernacular, $30,000. It's a lot of money for a box of perfume. And she broke that box. She left nothing. She poured it all upon him. And the point I want to make is the Lord called this a beautiful work. Now why? She had one motive. She loved his person. That's it. She loved him for who he is. She loved his holiness. She loved his sovereignty. She loved his power. She loved his humility. She loved his independence. She loved his majesty. Every attribute that he possesses as the God-man. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. She recognized that. And she loved him for who he is. And you know, the only person that can experience that, that can understand that, is the person who does love him for who he is. Only the believer loves him for who he is. And every believer loves him for who he is. That's what she did. She did this out of the impulse of a loving heart. It came into her heart to do this, and that's a gift of his grace. And she didn't think, is it my duty to do this? Am I obligated to do this? Are others doing this? I didn't see any of the disciples doing this. What will it cost me to replace this? What if I need the money down the road that this could bring me? How will I be recognized in doing this? What will other people think? Do you know none of those things even came into her mind? She did this from the impulse, and I have no doubt where that impulse came from, God the Holy Spirit. She did this as an impulse from her heart that he gave her, that loved him. She loved him for who he was, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And she did what she did solely for him. That's what the Lord recognizes about this. You see, the disciples criticized this, and I am sure I would have joined in with them. That's one of the things that makes me so sad about this passage of Scripture. I wish I could preach it the way it ought to be preached, but I know which one of the people I would have been. I would have been right there with them criticizing her for wasting this money with all the good things that could have been done with it. They were pragmatic. They were practical. How many poor people could have been fed with this? You know, we always have some end in view in what we do, don't we? We have some end in view. Good reason, so we think. How is this going to make me look? How is it going to help my testimony? How is it going to help those in need? But this woman had a higher end than any of these things. She was doing what she was doing solely. Solely for Him. No other motive. She didn't think, what a good person I am for doing this. She didn't think the world needs more people like me who will do this for Him. I'm setting an example. She wasn't thinking about herself at all. Listen, if you think about you, you've ruined it. You've ruined it. The moment you think, well, I did this, you've ruined it. This woman did what she did solely for Him. And there is no better reason, there is no more sublime motive than this. And what she did was extravagant. If you spend $30,000 for a bottle of perfume for your wife and used it all up at once and broke it and poured it on her and you had no motive of what you had gained from it, stand up. I want to see you. I want to see you. And once I did see you, I'd criticize you. You know, the church could have used that money. We got bills to pay. There's missionaries that could have benefited from that. I mean, this is a waste of money. I mean, this is extravagant. There are other needs. I mean, I admire you on some levels, but I think you're stupid. That is the way I would respond to something like this. I know myself. Well, the disciples criticized her for her extravagance. And even called it a waste. A waste. Now that is a strong word. It's only found 20 times in the New Testament. And let me give you the other translations the King James gives of this same Greek word. Perdition. Destruction. Damnable. Perishing. Perdition. And we know from John's account, Judas was the initiator of this. He said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And John gives us this statement on it. This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And had the bag and bear what was put therein. He just thought, I'm losing money out of this. But boy, he had a good reason for criticism. So he thought. And you know what I love about what this woman did? She broke the box. She broke it. What happened to it? I guess she threw it away. You know what I would have done? I would put it up on my mantle. Somebody comes over, what's that? Well, I can tell you about it. She broke it. She destroyed the evidence. She destroyed the evidence. Question. Considering who Jesus Christ is, and what He's done for us. Is there anything we could do that would be too extravagant? Is there any sacrifice too great? And let me put that another way. Is it a sacrifice in the first place? I like what Paul said. I suffered the loss of all things and do count it but dung. That's what I sacrificed. Oh, I've sacrificed so much for Christ. Dung? Oh. Oh. This was an act of faith. Verse 6, Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, for you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always." She's done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now, interestingly, and I don't know why, but just about every commentary says the Lord's giving this comment, but she didn't really know that. Yes, she did. You know, the Lord told them on at least three different occasions, "I'm going to die." And she knew His hour was come. "And I'm going to be raised from the dead." And she came to anoint His body for the burying. She had some understanding of His death. And that is why she did this. You see, you can't think of the Lord Jesus Christ, not truly, not spiritually, not as God enables you. You can't think of the Lord Jesus Christ apart from thinking about the accomplishments of His death. I mean, He can't be separated. The person and the work of Christ cannot be separated. Somebody says, "I love Christ." Well, I'm glad you do. Do you love His work? Somebody says, "I love His work." I'm glad you do. Do you love Him? These two things cannot be separated. We preach Christ crucified. And this woman was taken up with His death. Did she understand what He would accomplish by His death? Well, in some measure. You know, as far as that goes, I don't understand everything, do you? I mean, His death is so glorious, it's so mysterious, it's so powerful. Of course you didn't understand everything, but neither do you or I. God does, though. And that's what counts, God's estimate of His death. And she did this to anoint His body for the burying. She was conscientiously anointing His body for this burial. How'd she know? How'd that one thief know? He knew the Lord would come back as a mighty reigning king. The other didn't. How'd he know? Was he smarter? No. The gospel was revealed to him. And this was revealed to her. And anything you and I know is because He revealed it. It's not because you figured it out. It's because He revealed it. Now, that was the case with this woman. Now look what the Lord says, and I think this is very interesting. After they murmured against her, Jesus said, "Let her alone. Mind your own business. Why are you troubling her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, you have not always." She hath done what she could. I remember Joe McSherry used to spend so much time out here. You all know that. He was out here 40 hours a week for 25 years. And I remember this fellow coming in, was wanting to do something, and it was interesting to watch him. I mean, he'd be right on their back, you know, looking over and watching them, everything. And this guy started, he said, "Well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do that." And Joe said, "I'm tired of hearing what you can't do. What can you do?" The guy was just, you know, he was, "Well, that's a good question." Now, the word "she had done what she could" is not the word that we use for ability. It's not that word at all. It's usually translated "what she had." She has done with what she had.
Let her alone. She hath wrought a good work upon me. Now, what is a good work? Now, listen to this real carefully. This is real simple. Anything done out of love for Christ. That's the criteria. I don't care what it is, if it's not done out of love for His person. And I'm talking about knowing who He is. I'm not talking about somebody saying, I know Jesus. And no, I'm talking about someone who knows who He is and loves Him for who He is. Anything done out of love for Him is a good work. And anything that's not done out of love for Him is an evil work. The plowing of the wicked is sin, the Scripture says. Now, plowing seems like a wholesome activity. But the Scripture says the plowing of the wicked is sin. The only work that's a good work is that which is done out of love for Him. You have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. You can do something for the poor anytime. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Now what she did was by grace, but she had done what she could. She did with what she had. Well, what did she have? She had love to Christ. She had an alabaster box of ointment. That's what she had. And she did what she could. I heard someone say once, if I had money, I'd be generous. Oh. Doesn't count what you do with what you have if you had it. She did what she could. This was an act of faith. And what does the Lord say? Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached. Now, this gospel is the gospel. This gospel is the gospel. The only gospel. The gospel of God. The gospel of Christ. The gospel of the grace of God. The gospel that saves. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. She was one of those sinners Christ came to save. You know, one of the things I love to think about, you know, he came to save sinners. You know what? He did it. That's the gospel. He did it. When He said, it is finished, everybody He died for was saved. Period. She was one of those sinners. Now, wherever this gospel is preached, we have this memorial of this woman that shows us what takes place when one of those sinners are saved. They become lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I talk about love to Christ, please don't start thinking about the strength of your love or the greatness of your love, because there ain't much to it. You know that, and I know that. You think of who He is. That's what draws out the love. Who He is and what He did. And the only motive you desire to have, and I can say this to every believer, this is what you want more than anything else. You want your only motive to be love to Him, don't you? Love to His person. Now this is what the Lord called a beautiful work. And we want to be like this one who sat at His feet and heard His word and did what she did out of love and gratefulness to Him. Not for reward, not for recognition, but because she saw the beauty of His person and the sufficiency of His salvation. A beautiful work. Let's pray.